For the rest of the Masechta, the Mishnah discussed the laws of Yayin Nesech. As we learned earlier on in the Masechta, Yayin Nesech refers to wine which a non-Jew has used to serve his Avodah Zarah. He poured the wine in front of his Avodah Zarah. And Midrabbanan, any wine which a non-Jew comes into contact with, as long as certain conditions are met, that wine would also be forbidden because we're concerned that the non-Jew has used it to serve his Avodah Zarah. Even if he's not necessarily in front of his idol at that time, there would still be a service which they would do with the wine by, let's say, mixing the wine and having in mind that it was for the sake of serving the Avodah Zarah. So any wine belonging to a non-Jew or which a non-Jew has touched in a way that we can be concerned that he has used it for the service of his Avodah Zarah would be forbidden midrabbanan. Out of concern that he actually did use it, in which case it would be forbidden midoraisa as yei nesech. Now, the way that the wine press, or at least the wine press which is discussed in our Mishnah, was set up, is there would be an area where all of the grapes were, and the grapes would be crushed, and then there would be a sort of slope, a small slanted area, where the juice coming out of the grapes would come down and descend into a sort of pit, into a hole, and that's where the wine was collected. Now, according to our Mishnah, the juice which is coming out of the grapes does not have the halachic status of wine. It's just considered to be juice coming out of grapes. It's only considered wine once it has arrived and been mixed with the wine which is in the pit at the bottom. But until that point, it does not have the status of wine, and therefore the prohibition of Yayin Nesech cannot apply until it's reached the bottom. And because of that, the Mishnah says, Leichen gas be'uta, it is permitted to buy a crushed wine press, meaning a wine press where the grapes have already been crushed and the process of turning them into wine has begun. It's permitted to buy that minanochri from a non-Jew, even though the non-Jew takes the grapes with his hands. Once they've been crushed already, they would crush them in a different place. Then they would place the crushed grapes, tapuach, onto the area at the top of this wine press, at the top of the slope, where there would be a pile of crushed grapes, and then the juice would start oozing out and going down the slope into the pit of wine. And the Mishnah explains that Einanas Yei Nesech, this juice does not become Yei Nesech, doesn't become forbidden midrabbanan, out of concern that the non-Jew served his Avodah Zarah with it, ad yei labor, until it goes down into the pit. Once it goes down into the pit, then mashbabur osur, all that which is inside of the pit is forbidden. It's forbidden to benefit from it, midrabbanan. Vashar, but the rest of the wine, mutter, is permitted. And the point of the Mishnah is, even that juice which is going down the slope into this pit, and it's flowing in there, and there is no gap in between the pit and this juice. So it's effectively connected to all of the wine which is in the pit. In general, there is a rule that nitzik chibur, if something is flowing into another container of a liquid, and it's all connected, if let's say you have something, a forbidden liquid, in a container, and you're pouring a permitted liquid into it, even before the permitted liquid has all been actually poured into the container of forbidden liquid, since it's all connected by the flow, it all becomes forbidden already. However, the Mishnah is telling us that does not apply over here. And the reason is because the prohibition of Yayin Nesech can only apply something which already has the status of wine. Over here, it's true that it's all considered connected, but that which has not yet arrived in the pit is not even considered to be wine, so the prohibition of Yayin Nesech is irrelevant, and it would not forbid any of the juice until it arrives in the pit. Mishnah test. This Mishnah continues to discuss the issues of Yayin Nesech, as well as another concern that it is forbidden to cause fruit of Eretz Yisrael to become Tomei. Certainly before the tithes have been separated from that produce, it will be forbidden to cause it to become Tomei, because many of the tithes, like Truma, once it becomes Tomei, needs to be destroyed, and the Kohen would not be able to benefit from it. But even once all of the tithes have been separated, it is still forbidden to cause these fruit and this produce to become Tomei on purpose. So the Mishnah says, Dorchim v'nanochi bagas, it is permitted to crush the grapes together with a non-Jew in a wine press. You can be a worker for him. And it's important to add, this is as long as the non-Jew does the first step of crushing these grapes. They would crush them a number of times, and the first time they would crush them, from that moment they would gain the ability to become tomei. The law is that fruit and produce, something which grew from the ground, can only become tomei if at some point it has come into contact with one of seven particular liquids, for example, water or wine. So the grapes gain the ability to become tomei at the first time that they are crushed, because then some of the liquid comes out and they become wet with that liquid. And now they're able to become tomei, and if the non-Jew is the one who is crushing it, then he will make them tomei. So if they are already tomei, and then the Jew continues doing the work in the wine press, that's okay, because he's not the one causing any tumor to the produce. The non-Jew did that. But it's forbidden to harvest the grapes with a non-Jew, because that's at a stage before the grapes have gained the ability to become tomei. So you're effectively causing the tumor to come later on. When the grapes will be crushed, it will be because of you. You allow that to happen, and you effectively are the cause of the tumor to that produce. Now, in terms of the Yain Nesed prohibition, this would not yet apply, because again, the grapes and the juice of the grapes does not have the status of wine until it arrives in the pit full of the liquid. Now, what happens if Yisrael Shuayis B'tumah? There is a Jew who is processing wine, the grapes, he's crushing them, making them into wine, but in a state of tumah. Can a Jew help him? So this is more problematic, because the Jew who is doing this is violating an Aveira. When the non-Jew does this, he's not forbidden to cause tumah to produce of Eretz Yisrael, but a Jew is forbidden to do this. And the law is that it's forbidden to assist somebody in doing an Aveira. So here, le'derchim v'le'baitzrimimo, it's forbidden to tread and crush the grapes for him, it's forbidden to harvest with him, even if the grapes are already tomei. You can't continue that process because it would be encouraging him and assisting him in this process. Aval, however, it is permitted to transport empty barrels to the wine press, mavinim minagas, or once the wine has been fully processed and poured into barrels, it's permitted to transport those barrels back to his house, wherever he wants to bring them, because that act is not viewed as part of the whole process of making the wine. That's separate, and therefore does not come under the category of assisting him in his avera. And the Mishnah brings a similar example. Nachtoim shu'esa b'tumah, if there is a Jewish baker who is processing his bread in a state of tumah, le'loshin, it's forbidden to knead the dough with him, ve'le'urchin imai, or to plait the dough, because all of these things are part of the process. So even if it's already tumah, so you yourself are not causing the tumah to that dough, nevertheless, you are encouraging an aveira of the Jew who did it. So it's forbidden. However, it is permitted to transport, together with him, the bread to the person who's going to sell the bread. Because again, this is not part of the actual process of making the bread, and therefore it's not part of the process in which the Aveira was involved in. So it would be permitted and not come under the category of assisting an Aveira. Mishnah Yud. This mission is going to bring out a few exceptions to when a non-Jew might have had contact with the wine, but nevertheless, it would be permitted to still benefit from that wine. It might be forbidden with Rabbanon to drink the wine, but the full prohibition of Yain Nesach would not apply in these cases, because there's less of a concern that the non-Jew served his Avodah Zarah with it. If a non-Jew is found standing on the side of a Jew's pit of wine, without permission. He's in the Jew's property, next to the Jew's wine, and we didn't see him touch the wine. In Yeshayahu of Milva, if the non-Jew has rights to that wine, as a result of a loan, meaning he lent money to the Jew, and as a guarantee for the loan, they agreed that if the Jew is not able to pay back the loan, then he will give him this wine instead. So the non-Jew has a chance of getting this wine, if the Jew won't be able to pay back, and because of that, since we see him right next to that wine, there is a high chance that he actually touched the wine in order to check how good quality it was. And so also, we're forbidden to benefit from that wine. However, any olav milvah, if the non-Jew does not have any possible rights over that wine due to a loan, mutter, it's permitted to benefit from that wine still, and we do not need to be concerned that the non-Jew touched the wine. Since he's in that property without permission, he's obviously doing it in a rush so that he doesn't get caught trespassing in somebody else's property. He's not going to start touching the wine, and we don't need to be concerned for that, and therefore it's still permitted to benefit from that wine. Now what happens if nofal labor? An interesting case, the non-Jew fell into the pit of wine. V'olah, and then he came out of the wine. So he touched the wine unintentionally. Now, if after that happened, he came out of the pit, the wine would be forbidden, because we're concerned that on his way out, he did intend to serve his Avodah Zarah with it, as he moved the wine, maybe to thank the Avodah Zarah that he survived the fall. And so in that case, the wine would be forbidden because of the concern that the non-Jew turned it into Yain Nesech when he, on his way out of the pit. The Mishnah is discussing a case where he died as a result of the fall into the pit, and people brought him out of the pit. So here he didn't have a chance to turn it into Yain Nesech on the way out. And on the way in, he fell in unintentionally. Or in the next case, if the non-Jew is standing on the side of the wine, and he has a stick, a reed, in his hand, which is quite tall, and he's putting it into the wine. It appears like he's testing how deep the pit is, how much wine there is in there. He's not trying to touch the wine himself. Alright, next case, if there was some sort of flying insect right next to the wine, and the non-Jew hit it with this reed, but again, he himself, his hand did not come into contact with the wine. Or if he was next to a barrel of wine which was foaming, and he was tapping on the top of the wine, the surface of the wine, which was foaming, in order to reduce the foam. Over here, in all of these cases, we can see a different purpose to why the Jew is doing anything with this wine. And the Mishnah says, with all of these cases, there was a story which happened like this. And in all of the cases, the Chachamim said that the law is Yemocher. The wine should be sold to a non-Jew, meaning it's permitted to benefit from the wine, because we have a far less concern that the non-Jew turned it into Yain Nesech. However, in order not to differentiate totally from cases where it is forbidden, they said that it's still forbidden for the Jew to drink it himself, the Rabbi Shimon Matir. However, Rabbi Shimon permits the wine totally, even for the Jew to drink it. The final case of the Mishnah is Notalas Achovis Uzroka Bachamos Elabor. If a non-Jew took a barrel of wine, it was actually an empty barrel, and he threw it at the pit which contained the Jew's wine in his anger. He was very angry, and in his temper, he threw this barrel at the Jew's wine. Says the Mishnah, Zehu Yamaisa, this was a story which happened, Vehechshiru, and the Chachomim permitted the wine. Since again, we can see clearly why the non-Jew is doing it, not in order to turn it into Yain Nesech, the service of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the wine will be permitted. Mishnah the Aleph, from a Tara Yinishal Nochri, one who processes the wine belonging to a non-Jew in a state of purity. The non-Jew has hired this Jew to be the one who does the entire processing of the wine, in order that he'll be able to sell it to Jews, and it will be considered kosher, it won't be Yain Nesech, and presumably the price for kosher wine, which wasn't Yain Nesech, was more expensive. So that's why he hired this Jew to do the whole processing of the wine, so that he'd be able to sell it to Jews. And once the wine has been created, the Jew placed the wine in the domain of the non-Jew, in barrels, and it was placed in an area of his house, which is open up into a public domain. The people who are passing by in the public domain are able to see what's going on in that area. And we're talking about a case where the barrel has been fully closed and sealed twice. There's a double seal on the barrel, and as such it will be noticeable if it has been opened. Unless the person who opened it put on another double seal afterwards. But that would take some time. And so the Mishnah says, B'ushal yesh bogim v'yisraelim, in a city where there are both non-Jews and Jews. So some of the people who are passing by in the public domain will be Jewish. And they'll look inside to see what's happening. And if the non-Jew is opening up the wine and touching the wine, whatever it may be, he'll be spotted by these Jews who are passing by. Or at least he'll be afraid to do anything with the wine in case a Jew might pass by and see what he's doing. As soon as the Jew sees what he's doing, he'll report it to everybody and they won't buy wine from him. And this non-Jew obviously wants to sell the wine to the Jews, because that's why he hired a Jewish worker to do it. So since there are Jews passing by, he'll be afraid to open up the wine and turn it into Yain Nesech, and then have to close it again and put another double seal on, it will take some time. So Mutter, it's permitted to benefit from that wine, since we know that he'll be afraid to turn it into Yain Nesech, because he might be spotted. However, Be'irsha Kol HaGoyim, if it's in a city where everybody is not Jewish there, so this particular non-Jew is not concerned that somebody might spot him doing it and report it to the other Jews, and therefore Osor, it is forbidden because we are concerned that he might have opened up the barrel, turned it into Yain Nesech, and then replaced it with a new double seal. However, there is a solution, at Yeshiv Shomer, unless the Jew sets up a guard to watch and make sure that this non-Jew does not open up the barrel of wine, In that case, it will be permitted. This guard doesn't have to literally be sitting there all day, staring at the wine and the non-Jew to make sure nothing happens. Rather, even if he's just going out and coming back in, that's enough. Just like it's enough for the few Jews who are passing in the public domain to deter and discourage the non-Jew from turning into Yei Nesach, so too this person who is every now and then checking on him, that is also enough to make sure that he won't turn into Yei Nesach. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar adds one more point, and that is, according to him, even if the wine is placed in the domain of a different non-Jew, not the non-Jew who hired him and who owns the wine, but in a different non-Jew's domain. Now, there's no concern that the non-Jew who owns that domain is going to touch the wine and turn into Yai Nesach. He's got nothing to do with the wine. That everybody agrees on. The question is, are we concerned that the non-Jew who owns the wine might come into that domain, and he'll serve his Avodah Zarah, he'll turn into Yai Nesach over there? According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kol Rishus Goyim Achasi, all of the domains of non-Jews are considered like one domain, meaning it makes no difference, even if it's in a different non-Jew's domain, it would still be forbidden in a city where there are no Jews, and he doesn't set up a guard, because we're concerned that that non-Jew will allow this non-Jew to enter into his property at any time to do what he wants with the wine. And so even in that case, we need to be concerned that he has turned it into Yei Nesach.